Okay, we're picking up seven lines from the top of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'ilei Nishma Shunamis Bas Yaakov, and the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we are in the middle of a discussion about the we are about to ask a kasha and Rabbi Chanina, and the shita of Rabbi Chanina. Just to remind ourselves, Rabbi Chanina was of the opinion that shosig almanas lakanter, you have more than that day to be able to be mefer such a neder. So the Gemara, before getting to the kasha, the Gemara was dealing with the Braisa. The Braisa told us that we have a case where hafara is going to be more machmir than hakama, that being able to nullify the neder, that the husband from now and going to the future to nullify the neder is more makel than, is more chamer rather than to be able to just keep the neder. We gave the example of being silent. If a husband is silent, then the neder stays intact. And if he stays silent, that would, and he wants to uproot the neder, that would not be made for the neder. Now the Gemara says, Osh eshkechan chomer behekem hefer. So in that regard, we find that there is a chumra in confirming the neder. Just by being silent, you would confirm the neder, which is, you would not work to be able to be made for the neder. However, behefer me behekem minalan. What chumra do we see in regards to behefer behekem minalan? How do we see that there would be a chumra the other way around in being hafara, in what is more chamor than being able to be to do hakama? So Gemara Zamri Yochanan Eshalin ala hekem, that somebody is allowed to do hataras nadarim on a hekem, that if the husband or the father, if he confirmed the neder, and then on the very same day, the Ran points out, it has to be on the same day, he goes before a beis din of a yachid mumcha or shlosha idiotos, and he wants to do hatara on his kiyum, then they would be able to do the hatara on the kiyum retroactively, and the father or the husband would be able to be made for the neder for the rest of the day, as opposed to ein shalin ala hefer. But once the husband or the father had decided to do hafara, to annul the vow mikana lahaba, so then we would not be able to do a she'ela on that. Why not? Because we pointed out earlier on Daf Samech Tes that the Gemara was fleshing out that hafara is not like a neder at all. What is hafara? It's going to be the exact opposite. A neder is coming to make something usser, and hafara is coming to remove that isser. So if you're coming to remove a neder, so you can't go back. What's the whole idea of a hatara? A hatara was taking a neder that you had and coming to uproot it. And coming to uproot it either through a pesach or through a charata, that's a machlokas in the Gemara. But what is ba'etzem, the idea of being made for the neder is removing the neder. The idea of making a neder is the exact opposite, is making an isra on herself. So the idea that we learn out, that there's a concept called hatara, that's when you have a neder in place, you're able, we have the ability to be able to remove such a neder. However, if you remove the neder, you can't tell me that you can now put it back in place through a pesach or charat that you wanted her to keep the neder. That doesn't. That's not, we don't have a lima to tell us that hatara could work in such a case, because the whole idea of a farah is working in a very different manner than creating the neder. So therefore, I have no lima for that, and that's why you would not be able to be nishalin ala hefer. So that's in that regard, it's more chamer on hafara than it would be on hakama. Hakama you could do nishalin, and hafara you would not be able to. So says the Gemara. Masiv Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana has a kashin of gak to Rabbi Chanina about that he was silent. Shtika manas lakanta. The Braisa says ve'im hacharish yacharish la isha, that the pasuk says if her husband is going to be silent about her neder meyom el yob mekamakol nederev achol yisar she asar nasha. Right, those opsukim are talking about the neder stays put. So now the Braisa says explicitly now b'shosik almanat lemekat akasu medaber. The pasuk is talking about someone who is remaining silent in order to bother and distress his wife, and the pasuk is saying that if he's silent an entire day, that would be called hakama. That is a confirmation. So says the Gemara ata omer b'shosik almanat lemekat o enu ela b'shosik almanat lekayim. How do I know that this pasuk is talking about somebody who is silent in order to bother her and to distress her? Maybe it's telling me it's referring to a case of he's shosek almanas lekayim, and he was silent in order to confirm the neder, that his silence throughout the day should affect the confirmation. So the Ran just points out over here that the Gemara sometimes uses the same expression with regards to shom shosek almanas lekayim. We have it in two different ways. Meaning the Gemara before said that the lashon of a shosek almanas lekayim is someone who wants to be able to be mekayim the neder now by confirming it belief. That's what we saw before on Ayin Chesem and Beis. Here, the lashon of shosek amanas lekayim is not talking about that case. Rather, it's talking about that a person wants to mekayim it later in the day. His silence now is that he's like giving himself more time to think about it, that he wants to confirm it later. So that would be, so that's what the Ran points out, that over here, his silence on a confirm means he wants to confirm it later. So if you assume at shosek amanas, it's not talking about shosek amanas lekayim, rather only talking about shosek amanas lekayim, someone who would be shosek amanas lekanter would not be a real effective hakama. So the Gemara, so the Braisa tells us that's not true, because Kshua Omer ki hecharish la, but the Vasek says that he was silent about her on that day, it repeats itself. So it's a lechora, an extra lashon over here. So if that's the case, Hare b'shosek amanas lekayim kasam, but that end of the pasuk when it says, so the pasuk says ki hichra b'yom shama. That pasuk, the Gemara's understanding, is talking about shosek amanas lekayim. So therefore, so that would be shosek amanas lekayim would be considered a hakama, a good confirmation. He would not be able to be made for the neder. The neder is chal. So now, so the Gemara, if the seif of the pasuk, if the end of the pasuk is telling me about shosek amanas lekayim, it must be that the first part of the pasuk hamani mekayim im hecharish yachrish lo isha. That when the pasuk says that the husband is going to remain silent, it must be b'shosek amanas lemeikar akasum edaber. That explicitly the Brace is telling us that if the husband is silent in order to bother his wife, and the pasuk seems to be still telling us that this is talking about the cases of hakama where it is a valid confirmation. So then the Brace is telling us explicitly that it would be called hakama, not like Rabbi Chanina wanted to say that the biyom shamo is just amanas lemeikar. You have as long as you want. Afilah sari amen. Him, rather, you would be only having that day and that day alone, and if you don't be made for it, then it would not work. So the Gemara points out to you that this actually is a good rejection of the Shita of Rabbi Chanina. This praise is explicitly against the Shita of Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara now asks, just stamazai on the Braisa now. Velokim habeshosek al manas lekayim. Maybe the Braisa should tell us that this idea of vehekim as kol nedarea was talking about only the idea of where he's remaining silent in order to be mekayimet, meaning that his silence throughout the day should be hakama. However, shosek sam, if somebody is silent without any specific intent, he neither to do hakama or to do hafara, but he just remaining silent, let's say, to make at her, so that would not be a valid hakama. That's what the Gemara is asking on the Braisa, so why didn't they learn like that? So the Gemara says, because, we already kind of said this in the answer, that krayasera, that it's really because there's two psukim, and the pasuk says imacharish yacharish isha biyom shamo. Not two different, it's the same pasuk, but two different times that the same pasuk is telling us that the husband is being silent. Why is the Torah have to repeat it twice? The first expression the Gemara is assuming is talking about shosek amanat lemekat, and then the end of the pasuk where it says it again of ki hecharish la. Why are you repeating it? To teach us another chiddush, that the husband is in that case where he is shosek amanas lekayim, that's also going to be pasha, that's going to be hakama, and even if he does it in order to bother her, that also is going to be a valid hakama. So that's what we learned from the Braisa. So that now we've already rejected Rabbi Chanina from this Braisa. The Ran points out that the Gemara is about to ask another kasha. We're going to ask two more, like we're piling it on him. We're about to we're going to show that. So we're showing another source. Why the Ran says, because this isn't like the Gemara is a double lashon of tiyuvta. So that's like a double knockout, like you're out. That's like a boxing, right? Like a person's a knockout, then he's done. However, one tiyuvta could be that the Gemara would find a teretz. So that's why we're bringing another tiyuvta to show, even if this teretz for somehow is answered, we will, which we don't, I'm saying, but theoretically, if it had been answered later, then we would still have the rejection of Rava. Meisi Rava from Rabbi Chanina from our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah tell us? Nadra im chashecha, that she made a neder beginning of darkness, meaning right before Shkia on Shabbos day. So meifer la ad shelo chashecha, you have until dark. Sheim lo hefer v'chashecha, because if he doesn't do that, ein ayach ala hefer, he's no longer able to remove the vow. So we explain that the Mishnah means that we allow him to be matir the neder, made for the neder rather, even on Shabbos itself, even if the neder has nothing to do with Shabbos, as we pointed out. This is in the Shita, that you don't have the full 24 hours, rather you have the end of the calendaric day. So she makes a neder an hour before the Shkia, so then he only has an hour to be matir the made for the neder, so then we would allow him to do it even if it has nothing to do with Shabbos. He says he's not eating apples on Tuesday, we would still allow him to be made for such a neder. So says the Gemara, Amai, but why should this silence be able to confirm the neder? Why don't we assume that this is like someone who's silent in order to distress his wife, who according to Rabbi Chanina would not affect the hakama. If the shosik almanas lemekat would not be a would not affect a situation of hakama, so like Rabbi Chanina wants the taina, so then in this case the Rabbanan would not allow someone to be able to be made for the nedarim on Shabbos either, since he didn't remain silent because he wanted it to remain in effect, but rather he was not allowed to. So then, according to Rabbi Chanina, when you understand that you have such a situation, you would extend the timing, and therefore that would not be called a hakama biyom shama. So the Gemara says this lechora is another very strong kasha on Rabbi Chanina to Yufta. Therefore, we would reject Rabbi Chanina on this premise as well. And now the Gemara is not done. Maisi Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi has another kasha based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, and I and Zayin Amad Beis, that Yodea on, not Ayin Zayin, Pei Zayin Amad Beis. The Gemara is going to tell us that Yodea Ani Sheyesh Nedarim, Aval Eni Yodea Sheyesh Mefirin. If the husband says that I know that there's a concept in Nedarim, but I didn't know that I was allowed to be Mefir Neder. He wasn't knowledgeable. He didn't know that there's a concept. I'm sure if he asked a lot of people on the street, they wouldn't know this either, that a husband has the ability, even to become a Zef, a woman would theoretically make a Neder. So nowadays people are more careful with Nedarim, but still, if they theoretically, this Allah, if a woman makes a Neder, the husband, we're going to see what the Gedarim are, the very next to the Mishnah that we'll see in the end of the Amud, so that the husband was allowed to be made for them. So he didn't know that there's such a concept. So the Allah is, So then Yefer, he's allowed to, on the day that he learns about it, meaning even if it's a few months later, she made the neder 3 months ago, and now he knows this halacha, that's called Biyom Shama, the Ran points out. Because that is Biyom Shama, that's the day that he realizes he's able to be made for it, so that's what we call Biyom Shama. So now what happens if the other way around? Yodeh Nishayesh Befir, and Avayin Adesh is a neder. I know that there's a concept called removing her neder, and I as a husband have that right, but I didn't know what she said as constituted the lashon of the neder. I didn't realize that neder was actually chal. So then that's a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Meir lo yefer. Rabbi Meir says, you will not be able to be made for such a neder, because he was aware that he has a concept of hafar, and that's not called biyom shama anymore. V'chachamim omrim yefer, that the chachamim say that he would be allowed to be made for such a neder, because since he was unaware that he was that that's called a neder, so that's also called biyom shama, because he didn't know that that was a neder, similarly to the idea of the hafara, that he didn't know the concept of hafara, this is also called biyom shama. But why don't we assume that his silence in the case of the Akama, according to Rabbi Meir, is like someone who's remaining silent in order to be mitzdar and bother her? So according to Rabbi Chanina, that wouldn't affect the a Hakama. Meaning, in this case, this would be the similar halacha, that the husband did not remain silent because he wanted her to remain in effect, but for a different purpose. He didn't know. So that should be similar to, at the very least, to be similar to the case of Rabbi Chanina. So, L'chora, this is only a kasha Rabbi Meir. So maybe they say that the Rabbi Chanina is not like Chachamim. Rabbi Meir is a shitas yachid. So the Ran points out, no, that this is a kasha even on the Chachamim, because when they argue with Rabbi Meir, the whole idea is whether or not this is considered biyom shamo. But they agree fundamentally with Rabbi Meir that if it would be considered biyom shamo, then that would in fact be a hakama. Even though he did not remain silent because he wanted to terminate in effect, they just call it not biyom shamo. So we see fundamentally that they would agree that that would in fact be a hakama, and you would only have that day had it been that it's biyom shamo. So fundamentally, this is also a kasha on the shita of Rabbi Chanina, and we bring another third to Yufta. This is also a rejection of shita's Rabbi Chanina. Now we're picking up the very last stretch over here. This is the last parak, which we were discussing the husband and the father, the right to do hafaras nedarim. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss which nedarim are in the category where hafaras nedarim would even apply. V'elo nedarim shehu mefer. So this is these are the following nedarim that the husband or the father for his daughter is allowed to be removing. Yeah, so dvarim sheish bem inui nefesh. So if they are things that affect her, they have a self affliction. It's things that they're not good, right? As the pasuk says, pasuk lanos nefesh ishay kemena v'shayi ferenu. So that's talking about things that are afflicting herself. So then the husband is able to remove them. It only talks about the husband in that case. It says benish lishto, but the hemshich of the pasuk. And Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Ran points out, the Rush points out, not the Ran, rather, it says, Bein Ish L'Ishto. So, Right, we have the pasuk says Kol neder v'choshes Israel la'anos nefesh yishayi kimena v'yishayi freinu. The husband has ability to remove them, and now we learn out based on the sifri that also the pasuk says ben ish le'ishto ben av lebito. So we have a hekesh between the father and the husband, just like the husband can be he can be mefer in darim of inui nefesh of what things that afflict her. So too the husband can be mefer the father rather can also be mefer inui nefesh. That is the shita of many Rishonim. The Rambam seems to disagree. He understands that a father is allowed to be more than the husband. He's allowed to be made for all of his daughters in the darim without restriction, even if they have no inoy nefesh whatsoever. So they pointed this out that the Rishonim that are like we just quoted are based on the Rasha of the Sifri that makes this hekish. So the Rambam, you're against the Sifri. Why are you passing against the Sifri? So the Rambam said in a tshuva, they actually asked him about this. It's in the tshuva's Rambam. We have this. The Rambam responded to these shalim, the people who asked him, and he said that the Gemara never says this drasha. So we assume that since the Gemara didn't bring it down, that's a question. If you have a drasha in a Sifri or Yushalmi, the Gemara doesn't mention it. So does that mean the Gemara is arguing because it doesn't mention it? Or does it mean that many oftentimes the Machlokas Rishonim? Or does it just mean that the Gemara wasn't dealing with it? And Echanami, we would agree, like the Yerushalmi. So that's a very big shaila. That's a very big shaila in the Rishonim many times, and it's a halacha l'maisa, very important to figure out certain times. Like you have Yerushalmi that says something, and it's not clear that the Balvi disagrees, so then we definitely obviously would give adifus to Yerushalmi. And things of the like, so like a Sifri also, if we assume that the Gemara doesn't disagree with it, Sifri is from the Tanaim, so then we would just arrive that's a borderline Tanaim, and quoting the Tanaim many times, so that's a very strong source. So the Rambam says, no, but our Gemara doesn't bring it down, so it must be that our Gemara, in this case at least, disagrees with it. Okay, very interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. So the Gemara says, Dvarim Shesh B'nei Nefesh, if the things that are affliction for her, that would be, the husband's able to be mad to them. Im echat, so she says, if I bathe, v'im lo echat, if I do not bathe, im eskashes, she is going to beautify herself, or im lo eskashes, I do not beautify myself. These are going to be lachora. The Gemara is going to discuss this. That these are really not the. This is just a tenai. She says the neder I'm going to make is if I don't do this is going to be I'm not going to right. I'm not going to beautify myself. I'm not going to bathe. The Gemara is going to get into that, but. We see from over here that's fundamentally, though, these are things that are considered inui nefesh, that they're self-afflicting things because they obviously are things that normal people do. So therefore, that's considered inui nefesh. Turning on to Ayin Testament Beis, Amar Biosi, Ein Elu inui nefesh. That these are not considered in darim of self-affliction. Ve'ilu inui nefesh. The Gemara is going to discuss why was Rabbi Yossi upset. Well, why did he disagree? But these are Amra Konim Peres Olam Alai. She says that the entire produce of the world is Konim upon me. Hareza Yachol Efer. So that obviously he's allowed to revoke that. Peros Medina Zu Alai. However, she says the produce of this country is Kones is Konim on me. So it's a lashon of a neder. Yavi Lam Medina Achar. So let her go import them from local places around. Not from the Eretz Yisrael, let's say she's in Eretz Yisrael. So go import them from Lebanon or whatever, and they may not be sending us anything, but go import them from other friendly neighbors. So then the Gemara says, if we assume that the produce of the storekeeper is Konim upon me, there also he's not able to revoke the neder because let him go to another shop. Why does he have to go to that storekeeper? However, he was the only one, that shopkeeper was the only one who let him buy on credit, and no other one was willing to do so. So then Rabbi Yossi would agree that Hareza Yefer, that also he was allowed to revoke such an eder, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara is going to explain later, we'll get in a few dapim, that we end up with Divrei Rabbi Yossi, because maybe we would have thought that this wasn't with Divrei Yossi. We already said that Rabbi Yossi Omer, and then he says this whole statement, why do you have to end off with Divrei Yossi? The Gemara is going to discuss that. But the Ran just points out a very important point in Rabbi Yossi, that if Rabbi Yossi understands that where the storekeeper, if he's not letting to lend you on credit, that's called inui nefesh, so then how could it be that Medina is going to be, if we're letting to be more makil on just a local store shop, that's the one who lends you on credit, you can't go to another one, even if you could try to borrow from a friend and get money to go to a different store, yet we call that inui nefesh, how is it possible that we're making you import from a different country? So based on that, the Ran says it can't be that we make you import from a different country. When she says Paris Medina, it meant she was, it would only be chal, according to Rabbi Yossi, if it was a Medina that she wasn't living in. If she wasn't living, she lives in Eretz Yisrael, so she says, okay, all the Paris from America, I'm being konim. So there, we say, okay, don't buy them from America, you're in Eretz Yisrael, you got most of the Paris from Eretz Yisrael, and the ones that are from Spain or whatever other places we get our produce from. So let her eat from there. But obviously, if she's in America, she lives in America, and she's ushering all the Paris of America on herself, that's no worse than, says the Ran, it's Pasha Rabbi Yossi would say that that's inui nefesh, it's no worse than the storekeeper case. So they point out, though, it can't be that the Ran had the girsa of, we say, Peros Medina Zo, It can't be Zo. It must be in Paris Medina. And apparently a lot of the Gersa of Paris Medina. If you look in the Mishnayos, Paris Medina meaning that a country, because if you say Zo, it means the country I live in, which is explicitly against what the Rana's whole trying to taina. So it must be that Paris Medina Alai. That's how you have to understand it. Okay, very fascinating run, very important. So now the Gemara discusses Nidre in Nefesh Hu Demefer. So it implies from our Mishnah that only self-afflicting Nidarim that the husband is able to revoke. However, Shein Bayim in Nefesh, Eino Mefer, but those that do not involve self-affliction is not able to revoke. V'atanya, but we learn in the Braisa, Bein Ishla Yishto Bein Av Lebita, we learn that it says between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter. We learn from this halacha that a husband is able to revoke nedarim related to matters that are between him and her. Things that are a personal relationship things. Like if she's madir things like to not have relations with him and things like, he's able to be made for such nedarim. Anything that would cause the shalom bias issues. So the Gemara says, actually, I was just thinking about it now. Maybe the Rambam was understanding from here, because we use a different drasha to teach Bein Ishlish to Bein Alabito. The Sifrei was learning that we learn it also, but the Gemara Dafka doesn't use this pasuk to teach us the idea of for Inui Nefesh. So that's why the Rambam learned it's not applicable to the father. I hear now, maybe because this is a very strong time that the Gemara, based on this drasha, the Rambam was understanding that it's mamish against the Sifri, because we have a different drasha from the very same words. So the Chor of the Gemara is against that. Here the Rambam's Tana now. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Amrei, so back to our Gemara, Halein, Valen, Mefer. No, obviously both the Nadarim of Inu Nefesh and the Nadarim of Beino Lebeina, he's allowed to revoke. So what's the difference? Miu Inu Nefesh, Mefer Le'olam. If they're Inu Nefesh, then his Hafara would remove them forever. However, Aval Ein Behem Inu Nefesh, if they're not self-afflicting issues, rather just Beino Lebeina, as long as she's married to him, then it would be a valid hafar. However, the moment he wants to divorce her, mechimegarish, or let's say dies, chayal enidra, that once he divorces her, her neder would take effect immediately. So the Gemara is assuming that the Bein Ishto Min Ishto is telling us as long as she's married to him. So the Mishnah means that these are the nedarim that you're allowed to be mefer la'olam, that's only talking about Inui Nefesh. However, if there's a Beino Lebeina, then we're talking, then we say only while they're married. So the Gemara says, "Bedvarim shebeino lebeina shein bei minei nefesh, aval yesh bei minei nefesh lo chel al nedra." But if they have inui nefesh and echanami, we're assuming that they would never come upon her even after divorce, and that's why the Mishnah mentions those cases. So the Gemara is akasha, "Udvarim shein behem inui nefesh ki megarish la chayla." And regarding the matters that do not involve self affliction, is it true that once he divorces her, the neder is going to take effect? V'hatnan. But don't we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is going to be on daf pehei. The Mishnah is discussing over there, a woman who made a neder, prohibiting her ma'aseh da'im to her husband. So the Tana Kama understood that the husband doesn't even need to be made for such a neder. Why not? Why is it that the neder wasn't even chal? Because the ma'aseh da'im of the isha go to the husband. So there's a concept of a person can't be osir davar she'ena shaloh. A person can't be a neder but davar she'ena shaloh. I can't be madir something on you for you. Meaning if it's something I owe you, things like that, it's yours. It's not mine. And I can't make a neder against it, giving it to you because it was yours. I can't say that, kodem this, your cell phone from giving it to you. What do you mean? It's your cell phone. So I can't make that neder. It's not chal. It's yours. So the Gemara, that's the Tanakh Mishita. However, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Yefer, that you would be chayav to be made for such a neder. Why? Shemei Gershenu Teyasur Elo, because maybe he's going to divorce her, and that then she's going to be usher to him because it's going to be chal immediately after he divorces her, and then if he ever wanted to get remarried, it'd be usher because her ma'aseh da'im are going to be usher to him. So Alma, so he was ushering benefit. She was ushering benefit on her. So the Gemara says, Alma ki megarish la omefer la meikara havi afara. What we see from over here, if he divorces her and he had her neder removed beforehand, the hafara is still going to be effective. From Yochanan Buning his argument, we see that the hafara that affects the personal relations of a husband and a wife, that would be in effect after divorce. So we see the original question, why does the Mishnah imply that the hafara is valid only for nedarim that are going to be by inui nefesh? So the Gemara says, Amrei halen v'halen hafara. Rather, we're assuming now that both Inu Nefesh and Inu Nefesh and the halachas of Beino Lebeina are a valid hafara. They are removed. Ela nidra Inu Nefesh mefer bein la'atzmo bein la'achirim. However, the nedarim that involve self-affliction for her, he is considered removing them both for him and himself. So meaning, if the woman subsequently remarries, let's say, so if she were to remarry, so then that neder would not be chal even for the second husband. However, ein by Inui Nefesh, if the nedarim do not have Inui Nefesh, but are only between Beino Lebina, La'atzma Mefer, the Lacha is regards to himself, he would be allowed to remove them. La'acherim Eino Mefer, whereas in regards to other people, he would not remove them. Meaning, it's affected for as long as the neder is concerning himself. However, once he divorces her, so even then it's not going to be chal because she might remarry him. However, once she marries another person, so then there's an issur d'oraisa of machzer grushaso, and no longer able to go back to him, then the neder would then be chal again. That's how the Ritva, the Ran points this out. So then, this answer apparently agrees with the idea of the first answer, that technically speaking, bein ish la'ishto implies that the neder is effective only while they are married. However, here, while they're married is an extended point because they really might be remarried again. So that's why the neder continues until she remarries. That's what we're talking about. So that's what we're saying. So now the Gemara says that this is what the Mishnah is teaching us. These are nedarim that he is able to revoke, both in regards to himself and in regards to others. Nedarim sheyesh behem inui nefesh. Nedarim that involve self-affliction. The Mishnah is implying and telling us that the idea is that he's able to be made for them. This implies a permanent hafara is only the things that are talking about inui nefesh. However, beinah is only going to be removed fully only when she subsequently she married to somebody else. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Im Erchatz because it's a very short daf, so we'll stop over here and we'll pick up with Im Erchatz, Im Erchatz Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.